Misunderstandings that cause us pain.
Is clarified by truth to bring love again. Clarified by truth to bring love again.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
The final prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam humbly said to me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you not pleased with this, that when your ummati send salam upon you one time, I send salam upon him tenfold? Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib
sallallahu ta'ala
ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madi channel, welcome back to our beautiful series, Misunderstandings, in which we are trying to figure out some solutions to barriers, which are the misunderstandings. And I'm joined by my guest, Abdul Hanan Bhai. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Abdul Hanan
Bhai? Alhamdulillah ala kulli
hal. Alhamdulillah. We were discussing, my dear viewers of the channel, a scenario in which, you know, a father, he gives something to the child to fix and he's unable to fix it, or he's struggling and he's taking his time and the father's getting annoyed. That was one scenario that we mentioned. But I would today, I want to go to another scenario.
Another one.
Of course, you know, these don't finish. But, you know, it's a general, we can use it in a general sense as well, even though the example is specific. So the son has grown up. He has friends. He likes to go out and treat himself to nice food and clothes. Sometimes he likes to be a little bit lavish. Now he asks his dad for money, but his dad, you know, he denies him, saying that he's spending too much. The son, to do this, I mean, in order to take care of his expenditure, he goes ahead and he does odd jobs. And the dad tells him to focus on his studies and stop doing odd jobs. The son says, "You don't give me money and you don't want me to work. What should I do?" Yeah, and then he says, "What have you given me anyway?" Which is at the back of his mind and is coming out. This sort of scenario may be seen, you know, managing expenses in the household, especially between the parents and the children when they're in their teens and they're not yet, you know, working full time. They haven't finished their studies, but they want to spend and they don't have enough. How do we understand this scenario?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, It's normal for anyone to have needs, right? In actual fact, everyone has needs. Whether it's the father, whether it's the son, needs are there. Managing the needs, the responsibilities fall on different people. In some cases, when the child is a small, young, the responsibility are of his parents. And then as the child grows up, the responsibilities, they get removed from the parents and they come on to him as a whole. And then when the parents get old, then the table turns where the child responsibility is now to look after the parents. Right? So this rotation, you can say, this is part of life. And this will happen throughout our lives. The misunderstandings of this actually destroys this rotation. It's so beautiful the way it's set. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this way. That a father, his responsibilities towards his children. And then children grow up, their responsibilities towards the family. This is a nizam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's so beautiful.
The nizam system.
The system. And it's so beautiful that, you know, we are there for each other. The parents are there for the children are there for their parents. So alhamdulillah, if we follow this system, alhamdulillah, you will find aman, you will find peace. You'll find tranquility, you will enjoy your life and you will have a good life.
It's a natural cycle you're mentioning, isn't it? Like you have the water cycle where the sun heats the ocean and then it goes up and then it becomes the clouds. And then that same cloud, when it rains on a mountain and that mountain, you know, the rivers flow into the same sea where it had originated from. So like that, you know, you're mentioning.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's the Nizam of the world. You take anything out of the cycle. Mm. I normally say to people, and this is a mindset, and it's alhamdulillah, something for us to learn also, that look, this actually is proving the existence of God, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm. That if you, how perfect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the system, and you take one thing out of the system, the whole thing's collapsed. Mm. Just take food chain for an example. You know, what you consider, what you know as food chain, is like the system, while one thing eats, survives on another, right? So everything survives on another thing. Mm. So you take one thing, one item out of that food chain, what happens? This collapse. Mm. This overgrows. It becomes chaos. Mm. Right.
And it's, you know, this has happened before. This happened in some countries where they decided to, you know, kill a specific animal, and then it caused chaos in that country.
Or, you know, certain animals are to be in certain countries and certain part of the world as well. You can't take them out of there and put them to there, because you will destroy the Nizam, you will destroy the system. And there was I remember someone was once mentioning to me how true this is, Allah Alim, that they were, the Australians don't have rabbits. So they decided, oh no, we don't have rabbits. Rabbits are nice, cute little things, so we should have rabbits here. Mm. So they shipped a whole full of rabbits. And so they started liking rabbits. And then these rabbits started to dig holes. Now they were thinking, oh, well, this is a problem for us. Mm. These rabbits should not be here. And then they started to remove the rabbits by getting them killed. But they were growing so much in number that it was out of their control. So they couldn't capture it or couldn't control the system. Mm. So where things are, leave them as they are. Mm. And in the same way, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this nizam of the father looking after the child, and then the child growing up looking after the parents. This is a system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that how we should be working. And if a person doesn't have this mind, that he doesn't have this mind, no, it's my duty to look after my child, or the child doesn't have this mind, it's his duty to look after his parents or to serve them or to have the understanding, then what you will have is misunderstanding. Right? So when you don't have this, misunderstanding will create.
Mm. Where does that mindset develop from? Is someone, do you think they naturally have a sense of responsibility to some extent, and then that is nurtured?
Yes, this is done. You know, there's a saying in English, what goes around comes around, right? And what this basically, how I would put it here, is that, you know, when, if the father, if he has been serving his parents and looking after them, the child will be observing this. Mm. He will tomorrow will be doing the same, right? And automatically this, you know, when seeing, observing, this will build that thing. And everything that father will do out of respect for his parents, the son will be observing this. Mm. And he will know that this is how you treat the parents. And sadly, if the father is not doing it, the son's going to come in that same way. Mm.
Allah.
If the father, and then at the same time, you know, when these children are growing up, the father needs to be using this, giving the children that mindset, look, I look what I'm doing for my parents. Mm. Keep on telling them. Keep on teaching them that, look, oh, I bought my father this. I've done this for my... Oh, look, along this day, my father wasn't well and I was there all day. Mm. Right? Otherwise, what's going to happen? If you just say, for example, you're separated from your parents, you're living in your own children in a separate house, and you go once a week to your parents' house. Mm-hmm. Right? Your children are going to think, it's only once a week that we need to go to see our parents. Yeah. Right, and I'll tell you, the day you will start going twice a week, first of all, your children will question you, Dad, how come you're going to today? Oh, Mom, how come you're going today? They will question you, because it will be surprising for them, because you only go once a week. Or you go once a month, or however people go. The children will think that this is how it's done, right? And they will question it when that behavior changes. Right? And if you are there going every day, if you are going to see them fulfilling their needs every day, you are going to your parents' house and you are looking after them, you are taking your children with you, and they know of this, tomorrow they will do this automatically. So a lot of the time where the misunderstanding is that you haven't shown your children how it's done. Mm. And it's important that we teach our children. These are not things which are hide. These are, you can hide these sort of things from maybe people outside because you don't want to show what you're doing. But even in regards to serving their parents, I don't think it's an action which really needs to be hidden, right? Because this will encourage others always.
Okay, so with that intention, what a person can...
And it's very rare that ostentation, riya, will come into this action that you are serving your parents and it's riya in there. I don't think that normally it's because it's that connectivity here, that relationship of the mother and the child, the father and the children, right? That connectivity here, it's like they say that, you know, no one can be more sincere towards their children than the parents. Because it's that relationship. That relationship cannot be, you cannot get that from anywhere else.
Did you say that's always the case? That parents are always the most sincere to their children? Because it's seen, you know, in society, especially in the times we live in, that, you know, divorce happens between the father and the mother, and the father is in somewhere else, he's doing something else, and he doesn't know anything about his children.
You know, there are cases like this. Obviously, there's a reason behind why cases like this
happen.
It's
becoming more common.
Yeah. And there's a reason behind cases like this, and that is the greed for wealth, which is creating this, and the greed for your desires is creating this. Right, where the person becomes so greedy, he forgets his children.
Why is it the case that this was, you know, when we look back 50, 60, 70 years, this wasn't as it is today? Yeah. What was...
It's, you know, people, it's like, you know, everything, people want to become rich quicker, right? People in the back in the days never used to think. I remember, you know, those people who will go in a foreign country or they'll come to the UK, and there was an old saying that, if I earn this much money, I'll go back home, right? And maybe you can say they earn double, tripled, or 10 times more. They still haven't gone, right? So, you know, they came thinking that they will earn this much. This will be enough for them. Meaning, look, they came with that mind that this will be enough and I'll go back. I know personally one was certain people who have said this, that, you know, I'm going to earn this much and then I'm going to go. I'm going to settle myself. And believe me, he's earned 10 times probably much more than what he was earning. And he still hasn't gone back. Still here. Right? So this aspect of greed is increasing day by day. It's like a lot of crimes, a lot of sins are increasing. Even with technology going forward, so many things are developing. But same time, maybe this is, you can say, the more people are developing into technology, the more these things are coming forward to us, the more things are becoming easy, it's making life like this. There's a very beautiful saying I once read, and I really liked it. It says, hard times, right, made strong men.
Okay.
When times were hard, what did he do? Made strong men. Strong men make good times. Good times made weak people. Right? And weak people made hard times.
It's like a cycle.
Right? It's a cycle. You know, when times were hard, maybe that could be a reason behind it. When times were hard, people struggled, but they made good. Right? They made good times.
Yeah.
They went through hard times, they made good people. And people generally had that. When times became so good,
it's very true.
They made hard times.
Very true.
Right? Times, everything's under our fingertips. Everything is so easy. Right, everything is so easy to make. I've just this tea was made, and within minutes it was made, got ready. Whereas in the old days, you to make a cup of tea, how long would it take? First, they will bring wood, then they will light it up, then will put a, you know, something on it to heat up, and then the water will boil, and then they will put to the tea. But could you imagine? Now it's just a matter of pressing the bottle of the kettle, and within minutes. That kettle boiled, the water's buried, put the tea bag in, 1 minute it's ready.
Subhanallah.
Right? Look how times have changed. But what is done is made us weaker. Right? So in the same way, you know, when we are in such a time and we have so many things, it's made us weak. Right? And we need to sometimes, you know, understand this, that the ones who haven't had hard times, they are not going to listen very easily as well, with regards to children. And children need to understand, regards to their parents, that their parents went through hard time. So it's both ways. Parents need to understand that children, when they're living an easy time, they're not going to cope with hard things. And children need to understand, my parents went through a tough time. Look, do I want to make it more tough for them?
And, you know, for example, if you know, you said hard times make strong men. So if the if the father is thinking, you know, I want to make my children strong, should he give them a hard time?
You really like that saying, subhanAllah. No, it's not like that. It's just an explanation, right? That when people went through hard times, it made them strong.
So how, in, you know, for example, in our generation, well, you can say, okay, according to you guys, we have an easy time, you know, whatever. So
there's a difference in times. No problem. There is a difference within our age. Well, now we understand about you.
SubhanAllah. I mean, you did hint at it earlier. Yeah. But if, for example, a father wants his children to become strong, and he wants them to have the capacity that if they are put into hard times, they have the capacity to cope with it, how should he approach this? Should it be controlled in the sense that he should give them a hard time in the sense that it's controlled? Or should it just be...
See, for that, if we should go back to our first episode or maybe first, second episode, where we talked about how to build the mindset of the children, right? You know, if you didn't do that, you can't implement it now.
It's right? Planning.
It's that long-term planning with your children. First, you teach them sabr. If you haven't taught your child sabr, how is he going to cope? So you have to teach them patience. You have to put that patient, matters of patience with them. Son, better have some patience, but not in a harsh way, right? And you got to, sometimes it's through trials, sometimes it's through your conversation, your link, your behavior with your children. You teach them that, right? You know, sometimes deliberately not doing or not giving them something. But that is, there's an age for that. You can't do that trial and testing period at the age of 16, 17, 18.
And that's exactly what we were mentioning in this scenario.
Right. So you can't do it at that age. You'll need to do this a lot before.
Okay. You know, talking about what should parents focus on, you know, in terms of family planning later on? That, okay, you know, this scenario you mentioned, and then it comes down to this. You're saying, oh, you should have planned it before as well. What other things do parents, should they look at? You know, they know that they're going to have children, and then later on they're going to grow up. What things should they have in mind that in place that we need to plan this well ahead?
You know, there's many things you can look at. If I start with, I'll probably go into so many different
things. Give some examples.
For example, where you're living. So if you know you're going to have children, they're young. The place you're living in.
Okay.
What sort of place is it? The society, environment. Is it rough? Is it, you know, crimes? If all this is happening out on the street, then it's, you know, to keep yourself, your children safe, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be challenging. It's not that you can't. In places like these, people still can keep it. But if you really want that safety and protection, then you need to be in the right area, right environment, places where you have masajids near you. You know, I've seen some people, they've taken the children out, keeping them safe from a lot of crimes happening. They want to move them out of that. But they've gone into an area where it's a non-Muslim area, right? And they think they have saved their children. But they don't have a masajid near there. So how would that child...
So it's another psychological warfare over
right?
there.
So, you know, so when you... I'm just saying that how you should be thinking wisely over this. Some people make this decision, and I've seen people like that. And then people who have moved into that further area, they have nothing to do with deen. It's like because all their surroundings is... There's not a Muslim surrounding around them. And you'll find this in many countries of the world, not just UK, but other parts of the world. Things like this will be happening. You know, people move there. Why? Because they don't have a local masjid, so then where they're going to pray, right? How often you're going to bring your child all the way to a area where there has a masjid in there and to read namaz, maybe just for Juma. So the only aspect in their mind will be just Juma. So think over this. Don't make these types of decisions, but same time you need to look into that, where you want to move, where your area, where your children or the surrounding of your children will gain etiquette, good behavior, good manners. And this will be a great help. The schools in that area also has that sort of environment, right? The people around it are good. Alhamdulillah, I've been to certain areas, alhamdulillah, where you find it very peaceful. Reason being is the whole society is built up. Okay, there might be still crimes. No area is really safe from a crime, but there will be very little. So the little chance that your child is going to end up somewhere wrong. right?
Okay.
But in the same way, the people of good manners, people are in them sort of areas, they're looking after you, their hospitality is there, your neighbors are asking with each other, how each other, everyone is. So that sort of environment.
But what if someone, you know, he can't make that choice because he simply can't afford it. He can't afford to live in those areas, maybe because house prices are too high or the rent is too high, and he has to live in a rundown area where all of this stuff is happening, the crimes are happening, and he feels disappointed, but of course it's going to have a consequence on his children, and then when his children grow up, now they complain that, look, you brought us here, it's your fault that we're like this, and then he's like, I couldn't afford it back then. Is that another misunderstanding?
A number of things you can say here as well, that sometimes we think like that, but even if you're in the most roughest of areas, the worst of places, if you've given your child the proper time and the proper understanding, the proper upbringing, there is alhamdulillah still a chance that your efforts ain't going to go to waste. But the actual point is that a lot of parents don't make the effort on their children. The effort towards bringing them in the right way, teaching them sabr, teaching them patience. I talked about a little thing about patience. How are you going to teach your son patience when you don't have patience yourself? Right? He's not going to be able to gain. And then sometimes we spoil our children at times. I've seen many families or many children have been spoiled because of their parents.
What do you mean by spoiled?
Always give them everything they want. Always let them have fulfill all their needs.
Okay.
As soon as the day will come, you will stop their needs. He's going to go against you, right? Because he's never seen that you say no to them, right? He's never seen that you rejected any of his requests. So he's going to think, okay, why is my father rejected? And there's a very a heart touching story in related to this. There was a father who didn't have a child, so he went everywhere making dua. Many companies of the pious people that make dua that I have aulad, I have children. And someone told him, go to the haram, the Makkatul Makarma, and make dua in a certain place for your child, that Allah will grant you a child, inshallah. So he went all the way to the haram, to the Makkatul Makarma, he made dua, supplicated that Ya Allah grant me a child. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with a boy. So he was blessed with a child. And now, because that was his, after many supplications, many du'as, many traveling, many journeys just to ask in the court of Allah to get this child, he managed to get. Now he had spoiled that child, gave him everything he wanted, did everything he desired. So when this child had everything, as he got older, what happened was he got into the wrong company, he got into the wrong environment. As he got into wrong environment, into the wrong society, What happened was, when the father found out that his son is now taking drugs, he stopped his mouth, he stopped the money which he was giving to him. And when the child thought, my father stopped giving me money, he started to threaten his father. The father got even more worried. Now I'm being threatened by my own son. Right? Then somehow or another that child found out that you were a means of your father's dua, that your father went to Makkatul Makarma, made special dua just to have you. And what came into his mind was that if I want to remove my father, I will also go there and make dua to removal of my father. Because that's where my father's duas were answered. Right? Just think, what has, because of overdoing, overspoiling, and fulfilling the every desire, it can at times, I'm not saying all times, it can at times lead that child to disobedience. Because he has never learned no. If you're going to say, look, better, I won't buy you this today, I'll buy you tomorrow. So he knows that not every day I will get it. Right? If he still gets it, it's, alhamdulillah, this is love, and you will still want to give that child. But maybe you can stop it for a day. Maybe you can stop it for 2 weeks. Or for an example, he wants something and say, but son, not this Eid, I will get it for next Eid. So that delay, that will teach him sabr.
The delay teaches them sabr.
The delay will teach him sabr, that he's not having it yet, but he'll get it later on. People don't even do, parents don't even do this. Sometimes it's like, as soon as the son says, now it's time come, they don't even bother going to do the shopping for the children no more. They'll just, take the money and go and do it.
And take the card.
So, when you will do this, you will spoil your children. Right? And other, there's a, you know, we've covered on one side. I also want to mention the other side. This is the side of the parents. Now the side of the children. The children need to understand that whatever we need, whatever we desire, it's not, you know, our parents might not able to fulfill that. How they need to understand this is they need, you know, again, it will come down to the father, the mother, the explaining the children of their lives. Sometimes parents don't tell them about their lives, what their struggles they went through. Tell them about all the good things. But you should tell your children about struggle. You should tell them the hard times you went through. So they realize it wasn't easy. But I tell you, when the parents do tell the children of hard times, it's when they be knowing, oh, you know, son, you know, when I was young, I went through this. And at that time, they are telling them about time. That's not the time.
Okay.
That's not the place and time.
These things need to happen earlier.
Yeah, these things are with time of life, you know, throughout your life, explaining them, teaching them. Sometimes I tell my children of what their grandfather went through. So this is another one. So not necessarily about what you went through, of your parents, what they went through for you. So sometimes, you know, you need to show that to your children about hard times you've gone through, or your parents are gone through. So, you know, how you would put this in front of your children sometimes. The mother should tell regarding the hard times of the father. And the father should tell the hard times of the mother.
Subhanallah.
Right? Because if this is another deeper point, a better way of doing it. Because when you will tell your child, beta, you know, my son, I went through this. But when the mother will explain, you know, your dad went through this. You know, your dad went through this. Your father went through this. And in the same way, your father is explaining about you. You know, your mother went through this hard time. She went through this. Look how, alhamdulillah, today. Like I was mentioning once about, you know, my mother. Right? How my mother, and I tell my children about this sometimes. And my mother, you know, when we were growing up, my mother would do certain works in the home. Right? Sewing clothes and stuff like this. Why? Just to be the extra help. And we were as children, you know, we were seeing this and, you know, my mother wasn't earning much from this. And, you know, those days, the women who came from Pakistan or like this, they wouldn't able to do much work. They wouldn't able to go do work, in fact. But whatever they could do in the home, for example, sewing clothes and other things, some of these women, they will go through this. And the tough time, you know, a woman spends hours and hours sewing clothes and she'll get only a few pounds, right? You know, this thing, telling your children about this, like today, they will realize the value of them 2 pounds.
But Devi, as a Madhi child, you've had a lot of good points, and I still have some questions which I want to ask Abdul Hanan Bhai about, you know, these particular points that he mentioned. And just to dig a bit more deeper into this, but inshallah, we will look at them in the next episode of Misunderstandings. Please keep watching Mandi channel and we'll see you in the next episode. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Misunderstandings that cause us pain. Misunderstandings that cause us pain. Clarified by truth to bring love again. Clarified by truth to bring love again.